When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
The biggest names in the business are on You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos.
Hey, this is Joe Buck, and you have done it. You have found it. You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT, and I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet with the most handsome single man in the radio business. A man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself the kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports, brought to you by BetMGM.
The wonderful Football Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos and you here on Westwood One Sports. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. And speaking of BetMGM, if you, the listener, you, the viewer, if you're betting on the NBA this season, and I am, Monday night did not go great for me, as a couple YouTube commenters have pointed out. I said it at the start of the show. Trust me, I'm betting these games. I know when I lose. Monday night was an absolute debacle. So if you, the listener, you, the viewer, if you're like me and you're betting on the NBA this season because I love the NBA, you love the NBA, we'll talk some NBA at the end of the show. Here's something that's going to take the pressure off your picks. Oh my God, like my antenna's up right now. I need some pressure off my picks right now. With today's NBA No Sweat token, you don't need to sweat it if your bet doesn't hit. Oh my God. Like, where was this for me on Monday? I need this. If your bet doesn't hit, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $1,000. This sounds like, honestly, I mean, you need to be betting at BetMGM, because BetMGM's the best. Make it legendary. I'm going to read this again. With today's NBA No Sweat token, you don't need to sweat it if your bet doesn't hit. You can get your stake back in bonus bets up to $1,000. Download the BetMGM app. Visit BetMGM.com so you can make it legendary and also, like, give yourself the best chance at winning money. Me, first and foremost, on that list. Thank you to everybody that's watching the show right now on YouTube. Bit of a transition period here, right? Because the BetMGM network no longer exists. But, and rest in peace. Great run. We are still being streamed for the next couple days on the BetMGM Network YouTube page. But we are also being streamed for the next 3 days. And starting next week, the sole YouTube feed for the show is youtube.com/@TheKostos. youtube.com/@THEKOSTOS. And that is my social handle as well on Twitter and Instagram, @TheKostos, THEKOSTOS. So we have people watching in both chats right now. Both youtube.com/@TheBetMGM Network and @TheKostos. If you're in the BetMGM Network page, I would encourage you to go subscribe to youtube.com/@TheKostos. I'm going into the chats during the breaks. I will interact with you. We will bring up your comments on the air. So be sure to do that. And I'm going to roll through a couple right now. A bunch of the real ones are chiming in. How about our friend, AMW0720, Steelers fan here. Very jealous of Ravens fans for being able to bring in a new regime. Thank you to AMW, and I certainly understand that thought process if you are a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I will add this. I think the Steelers are going to beat the Texans on Monday night. And that point spread was 3.5 yesterday at BetMGM. I mean, that is your number to bet the Pittsburgh Steelers. Houston can't score. Houston, we've got a problem. And the problem is the offense. And Pittsburgh's a home dog on Monday Night Football. Now, I don't actually believe in things like this, and I mean that sincerely. This is not the setup to a joke. The Steelers haven't lost at home on Monday Night Football since they lost to my New York Football Giants with Ray Hanley as the coach in 1991. Which has nothing to do with anything, but it is a really fun stat, and I just wanted to say it. So forget about the points. Give me the Steelers on the money line. And I'm curious, if and when the Steelers win on Monday night, will Steelers fans still want Mike Tomlin out? Just something to think about as we head into Monday Night Football with the Steelers and the Texans. How about this from Jay Wickers 0128? Jay Wickers, we appreciate you chiming in. Being from Buffalo, something I think the national media gets wrong. Okay, I'm willing to admit when I get stuff wrong. Buffalonians, is that a word? Buffalonians, no. Terry Pegula, who is the owner of the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres. Pegula not going to get rid of Sean McDermott. I know you could argue he should, but he will not. And Jay Wickers, I'll say this, like, you may be right about that. It's possible. And I know that a lot of Buffalo sports fans, and like, I know like no one nationally, and don't be offended by this, no one nationally cares about the Buffalo Sabres, but the Sabres kind of have the same deal going on, right? With the general manager that's been there for far too long. Pegula owns that team also. I would have to imagine, like, no one cares about the Sabres. And I don't mean that as an insult. It's just the truth. Everybody cares about the Bills. And if the Bills lose this week in the first round, you know that things are going to be worked up into a fever pitch. So maybe you're right about that, but I don't think that, like, that Terry Pegula would not fire Sean McDermott just because he doesn't want to. It may reach a point where he has to, depending on how this game goes on Sunday against Jacksonville. Kevin Hilmers has been a real one. Shout out to him. Been with You Better You Bet literally since day one in 2019. He says, the NFL is very interesting. We would be having a completely different conversation about John Harbaugh if Tyler Loop made the field goal on Sunday night. It would be Tomlin fired instead of Harbaugh. And Kevin would go on to later write, do I think the Steelers would have fired Mike Tomlin if they had lost on Sunday night? So I'll split the difference here, Mr. Kilmers, on your take. I don't think that John Harbaugh definitely keeps his job if Tyler Loop makes the kick on Sunday night and wins the AFC North. I think that he needed to make, like, a good playoff run here. Like, absolutely would have needed to beat the Texans at home on Monday night. Probably would have needed to get to at least the conference championship game. Now, I can't prove that. There's no reporting that says it. But that is my sincere thought here, is that winning the AFC North at 9-8 would not have been enough to save John Harbaugh's job. They needed to make a decent run in the postseason. So I don't think just if Tyler Loop makes the kick that he keeps his job. I think they needed to win two games for John Harbaugh to keep his job for next season. And I actually don't think the Steelers would have fired Mike Tomlin if they had lost on Sunday night. Like, I think what Jay Wicker said about the Pegula family, we can absolutely say about the Rooney family. Like, right, wrong, or indifferent, and I actually think it's wrong. And I think the Steelers should consider moving on from Mike Tomlin unless they make a huge run here. I've been saying that for years. ESPN's Adam Schefter reported about a month ago, the Steelers are not going to fire Mike Tomlin. You'll notice, Schefter never said that about the Ravens and John Harbaugh. I think Tomlin's coming back no matter what next season. They could lose by 30 on Monday night, and I think Mike Tomlin is still back as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Last one here from the YouTube chats, and thank you very much to everyone for chiming in. Terry S3255, the Vikings screwed up by not hiring Jim Harbaugh. They can make things right and hire his brother, John. Look, there's lots of teams, and I mentioned a couple of them. Dallas, Tampa. A good amount of teams that currently have head coaches where you can, like, if you even want to coach Washington, where you can say, yes, that team would absolutely fire their coach to hire John Harbaugh. I don't think that the Vikings handled this well with J.J. McCarthy this year. And I do think that they faked the J.J. McCarthy ankle injury for as long. Like, no quarterback in the history of the league has missed 6 weeks with an ankle sprain. Kevin O'Connell's a damn good coach. One coach of the year. Like, took Kirk Cousins' team to the playoffs with a million wins. Did it with Sam Darnold. They went 9-8. And you want to give Brian Flores a lot of credit, I get it. They did go 9-8 this year with terrible quarterback play. I actually don't think the Vikings are on the list of teams that should fire their head coach to bring in John Harbaugh. I'm still a huge, huge fan of Kevin O'Connell. YouTube.com/@thecostos. And we're going to start taking phone calls. I believe we're going to be able to do that now. So if you'd like to chime in on the phones, talk with me, Nick Costos here on You Better You Bet. 310-840-4910 is the number. 310-840-4910. That number again, 310-840-4910. And let's talk some sports here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports, presented by BetMGM. That was me like resetting there while also doing content for the show. I just wanted to give myself a Barry Horowitz pat on the back for that one. All right. Let's talk some college football. Because tomorrow night, the playoff returns. The semifinal with Ole Miss and Miami in the Fiesta Bowl. And I'll talk about that game coming up in a little bit. But for right now, I want to talk about Friday night. The Peach Bowl in Atlanta. I believe, and I said this last Friday, coming off a couple days off when we had New Year's Eve with Miami, Ohio State, and then the three games on New Year's Day. I said this last Friday. I'll repeat it now. I think this is the national championship game. Winner on Friday night of the Peach Bowl with Indiana and Oregon, I believe, will win the national championship. The stakes, impossibly high. The Hoosiers, in between at BetMGM, a 3.5 and a 4-point favorite. And just for the uninitiated that don't know what that means that the number is 3.5 at BetMGM, and it's juiced towards Indiana, which means we're kind of close to this going up to Indiana -4. That's why I say 3.75, because we're kind of in between 3.5 and 4. The number is 3.5 at MGM. If you wanted to bet it, you'd have to pay a little bit more to make that bet. We're close to being Indiana -4. The total of the game is 47.5. And before I break down what I think we'll actually see on the field on Friday night, we have to get into the YBYBTM. I think I want to turn this into a bit. I don't know if that is the bit. There's something here, though. The You Better You Bet time machine. And we don't have to go back in time too far. We got to go back to October of last year. October 11th, to be exact. Because on Saturday, October 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2025, Indiana went into Eugene and bullied the bully, punched the Oregon Ducks in the mouth, and walked out of Autzen Stadium a 30-20 winner in a result that felt to me, and I'm sure felt like to you as well, you the listener and you the viewer, and we talked about it at the time on the old show, felt like a tipping point, not just for this college football season, but potentially for years to come. Last year, not last year, 2025, last college football season, Indiana went to the playoff and obviously got smoked by Notre Dame in the first playoff game at South Bend. And in the regular season, got smoked by Ohio State. And I think a lot of people, myself included, I liked Oregon in the game against Indiana when they played. I think a lot of people felt kind of like the same thing was probably going to happen, right? Like, Indiana is going to be really good. They're going to beat up on the bad teams. And then when they have to step up in class, they're going to get, you know, shoved into a locker like they did last year against Ohio State and Notre Dame. The point spread of that game, and this is why like some of this stuff is so funny looking back in retrospect, and I'm not even insinuating the point spread should have been different. It was what it was at the time because that's what people felt. A lot of money gets bet into these markets. It's just funny to look at in retrospect how wrong everybody was at that time. Oregon closed a touchdown favorite against Indiana. Now they're on a neutral, and Indiana's favored by 3.5 or 4. A gigantic, gigantic swing. And that was the moment where it was, whoa. Now, I didn't believe it. I was wrong. I always felt like Ohio State was the best team. Indiana beat them head-to-head. So I was wrong about that. Indiana showed in that moment they were the best team. And the benefit of hindsight has earned us and me the ability to say that, but it's pretty obvious at this point now, right, that that was the statement of intent by Indiana going into Eugene, touchdown dog, turning Dante Moore over a couple times, and winning that football game. Pretty unbelievable. Kind of unbelievable how that happened, right? And now, we look at what Indiana's accomplished. Not just beating Ohio State in the Big Ten title game, but embarrassing Alabama in the Rose Bowl. Alabama now has assumed the mantle of bully. Indiana has assumed the mantle as the favorite, the presumptive national championship favorite, and the best team in the country. And when I think about this game that's going to play out on Friday night, I think about two things. And the first is this quote, and I want everyone to listen really closely to this. This was this week, Oregon linebacker Bryce Bedecker speaking to the media, talking about the Ducks' mindset heading into the game against Indiana on October 11th. Take a listen.
Yeah, you know, I'm a believer everything happens for a reason. I think we needed that to kind of wake us up. Obviously, we came off a big Penn State win and kind of thought we were, you know, pretty cool going into that week and pretty confident and got a little lackadaisical with our prep, I think. So it was a good wake-up call. And, you know, I think the rest of the season leading up to this point is a pretty good testament to the way we responded to that loss.
I want to give a shout-out to a friend of the show, Stucky, with the Action Network Big Bets on Campus podcast, who tweeted that clip last night. With the caption that he wrote, Kurt Cignetti would never. So shout out to Stucky for putting that on my radar. Hard to imagine an Indiana team doing that, right? With the way Kurt Cignetti talks, like totally tore the team down to build it back up for Alabama in the Rose Bowl after beating Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. Like, we don't have to question the fact that Oregon thought who they were, believed their press clippings following the double overtime win. And at that point, like, that's still Drew Aller and James Franklin and the whiteout at Penn State. That's not like whatever bastardized version of Penn State we got moving forward after Aller got hurt and James Franklin got fired. That's like the number three team in the country, Penn State Nittany Lions, that Oregon went into Happy Valley and beat in the whiteout. And Oregon obviously was feeling itself coming out of that game. Hard to imagine Indiana doing that, or like a Nick Saban Alabama team doing that, right? Just calling it like it is doesn't mean that Oregon can't be better moving forward. But that's pretty stunning, isn't it? That Oregon and Dan Lanning, with the culture he runs and the program that he's got there, that's how they felt going into that game against Indiana. And if you do that, Kurt Cignetti in Indiana is going to punch you in the mouth and push you to the ground and take your lunch money. And that is exactly what happened. So my thought is, there is, especially if the players are talking about it, there's no way Oregon's underestimating, and they're the dog in the game, right? There's no way Oregon's underestimating Indiana coming into this game. You're going to get the best Oregon effort, and you're probably also going to get the best Indiana effort. And if that happens, who wins? Oregon or Indiana? If both give their best shot, who wins? And then I think about last week in the Orange Bowl, Oregon against Texas Tech. Now, Oregon won that game 23-0. And I spent like 2 minutes breaking that game down, like, because the game sucked and Texas Tech wasted my time and your time, you the listener and the viewer, with a miserable performance. And I'm thinking, man, Oregon plays like that again, Indiana's going to win by 20. The game's not going to be close. My sense is that Oregon kind of rope-a-dope their way through the game. Probably knew going in, like, hey, we got this team. Like, great. They beat every team in the Big 12 by 20. We're not a Big 12 team. We're one of the best teams in the Big 10. And they're not going to be able to abuse us on the line of scrimmage. And we're going to go for it on a million fourth downs because we can. And we're not going to push the tempo and go pedal to metal because we don't need to win this game. I can't prove that's what happened. But that's my sense, knowing how good a coach Dan Lanning is, despite what happened in the Indiana game. So I do think you're going to get a better Indiana game than what they showed against Texas Tech because the level of competition raises exponentially on Friday night. So, if you get the best effort from Indiana and the best effort from Oregon, Who wins? I think the answer to that question is probably Indiana. That Indiana is better than Oregon. But that takes us to the other huge storyline coming into Friday night. Because yes, the team that plays and is going to be the favorite in the national championship game obviously is a monster deal and a monster story. The other big story on Friday night, which is going to be, I don't think is being talked about enough now, but certainly will in the lead up to the game and as the game is going on. If you look at any like reputable or not reputable NFL mock draft for next year, or for this year, I guess, 2026, now that the calendar is flipped, the number one and number two overall picks in every single one are Fernando Mendoza and Dante Moore. So coming up on Friday night, you are going to have, and I don't know if that's going to be how it goes, if they're definitely going to be one, too. Feels that way right now. You're going to have the first and second overall picks in the NFL draft at quarterback playing each other for a chance to go to the national championship game. And everyone assumes that the Raiders, who have the first overall pick, are going to pick Mendoza, the Heisman Trophy winner, who's like ChatGPT, create an NFL quarterback who says and does all the right things and is awesome on the field. AI spits out Fernando Mendoza. That's what it is. He's the ChatGPT quarterback, the AI quarterback. Like, hey, Gemini, create a quarterback that I want representing my franchise. Here's Fernando Mendoza. What happens if Dante Moore outplays him? What happens if Dante Moore and Oregon win the game and Moore's the better quarterback? Like, this is something that could swing the first overall pick in the NFL draft if Dante Moore looks awesome and Oregon wins this game. Okay? So if we all agree that that's the case, and how could you not, then we have to ask ourselves this question. Do you think Dante Moore is good enough to outplay Fernando Mendoza on Friday night? Because that's how Oregon wins this game, if Dante Moore outplays Fernando Mendoza. I'm not going to be arrogant enough to tell you I know the answer to that question. I don't. But here's what I do know, and I can be wrong. So I just say here's what I think. But I think I'm going to bet it, so I guess I do know to an extent, and then we'll find out when the game starts. I think Dante Moore, and I know Dante Moore is going to play well in this game. I think he's a big-time quarterback. And I don't know if it's going to be enough to get Oregon over the finish line to win the game. But do I think Oregon can cover this number? I do. I want to wait for a four. And I know there have been fours already, but look, we're doing the show now and the number's 3.5 at BetMGM. I'll bet +3.5 if I have to with Oregon. I'd love to bet a +4. Give myself a better chance to win my bet or push my bet. But the bet that I'm making is not that Oregon's going to win. It's that Dante Moore plays well enough to keep this game within shouting distance, that it's decided at the very end, one way or another. My best guess, Indiana wins a really close game. Dante Moore and Oregon cover the spread. On the other side, we'll break down Ole Miss and Miami in the Fiesta Bowl coming up tomorrow night. And I have a thought on this game that I think is going to surprise you, the listener, and you, the viewer. Keep on sending in the comments, youtube.com/@thecostos, and the phone number to chime in, 310-840-4910, 310-840-4910. Nick Costos and you better you bet, Westwood One Sports, presented by BetMGM.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
12 consecutive completions for Chambliss. Going for 13! He has it! And another touchdown! Harrison Wallace having the night of his life!
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
I love a good Sean McDonough voice crack. Absolutely the best. What a call by Sean McDonough last Thursday night, along with Greg McElroy, as Ole Miss beats Georgia in the Sugar Bowl to advance to the national semifinal. The phone number to chime in, 310-840-4910, 310-840-4910. Who do you like in Oregon and Indiana? Which quarterback do you prefer more in the game from an NFL perspective, Fernando Mendoza and Dante Moore? Do you think the Ravens made the right call in firing Jim Harbaugh? The answer to that question is yes, but not everybody has to be correct all the time. Let me know what you think. 310-840-4910, 310-840-4910. And just candidly, I have not memorized the number yet, but I'm kind of robotic in the way I host a show. I will get there probably honestly by like tomorrow. Let me see if I can get it right now without looking. 310-840-4910. 310-840-4910. Keep the YouTube comments coming, the YouTube questions coming. YouTube.com/@TheKostos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S. We'll continue to read them over the course of the show. Now, Oregon, Indiana is the main event of this round of the college football playoff, of the semifinal round. I think winner of that game is going to win the national championship. But that doesn't mean that tomorrow night won't be a delectable appetizer. And that sounds like an insult to both teams. I really don't mean it as such. But look, like I think Oregon, Indiana winner is going to win the natty. It is what it is. Tomorrow night, Fiesta Bowl, Miami and Ole Miss. Miami currently at BetMGM. Make it legendary. Download the BetMGM app. Visit BetMGM.com. Miami, a 3.5-point favorite against the Rebels. Total is 51.5. And I was thinking about this game last night and thinking about it a little bit this morning before the show. You know, just the bracket being what it was. I always get a kick, and we all fill out brackets, right? I've been doing an NCAA tournament bracket literally since I was like 6 years old in my dad's office pool. I actually won my dad's office pool for the first time in 1994, which is the year that Arkansas beat Duke in the national championship game. Shout out to Big Nasty, Corliss Williamson, Scotty Thurman, the late great Nolan Richardson, and Arkansas for winning that game and helping me win the office pool, where my dad bought me NBA Jam for Super Nintendo and then like definitely kept the rest of the money. But I didn't care because I had NBA Jam. But anyway, we all fill out a bracket every year, right? And you always get after like, I don't even think it takes until after the first round ends on Friday night. Probably after like the first day on Thursday, maybe the first half of the first day, where 0.002% of brackets are still 100% accurate. No one has a perfect bracket. I would like for someone to show me, and I'm sure given that there's only 12 teams in the college football playoff, that someone had this matchup. Be honest. How many of you had Miami and Ole Miss in the semifinal? With Miami having to go to Texas A&M, and look, they were not like a huge dog in the game, but they were an underdog in the game on the road, at A&M, and then Ohio State on a neutral. And for Ole Miss, a bit of an easier path, get Tulane in the first game, but then play Georgia in the second game, with a brand new head coach because the head coach left to go to LSU. You predicted this? In like sincerity, Ole Miss and Miami? Go. Why are you listening or watching this show right now? Go play the Powerball. Like, go play the lottery. I think you might win with that lucky streak that you're on right now. So pretty incredible that that's where we're at with Ole Miss against Miami. And we should make no bones about it. Miami is the better team. Miami's better than Ole Miss. And I think about Mario Cristobal, head coach of the Bucks. And I don't think he's a good in-game coach, but you can't argue with this result. They're in the semifinal, and they're favored to go play for a national championship. So at some point, we have to give Mario Cristobal credit. And for me, that time is absolutely now. And I think one of the most fun video games, and I'm a lifelong video game player that's ever been, well, what a shock, right? Like, listen to my show. Look at me. I love video games. Mario Maker. And I love, like, my Instagram, will get, the algorithm feeds it to me. I'll watch it on YouTube. These levels that people create in Mario Maker of, like, Mario 3 or Mario 1, Super Mario World, etc. And this is what Mario Cristobal has done. This is Mario Maker, college football version. Except instead of creating a level of Mario 3 where he's got Mario has to elude 9 million fireballs and 15 Bowsers jumping at him and 9,000 Koopas, instead, Mario Maker has created an NFL offensive and defensive line that features top 10 picks in the NFL draft at both per any reputable mock draft that you look at. Mario Cristobal has done an unbelievable job. And Miami's defensive line absolutely leaned on Ohio State's offensive line. Buckeyes couldn't run the ball in the game. Julian Sain under duress. And it was too little too late by the time Ohio State got it rolling offensively for the Buckeyes to come back. Mario, I think a lot of people say Mario. I've always said Mario. I'm from New York, so I feel like I'm correct. Sorry, think I'm wrong about that? 310-840-4910. I got it right. 310-840-4910. Mario is one of my favorite intellectual properties, IPs, growing up. Another one of my favorites is Star Wars. We're about to get really nerdy. Ole Miss quarterback Trinidad Chambliss, with what he did last week in the Sugar Bowl against Georgia, to me, he's the best player on the field in that game. And who would deny this? The MVP of the game. That was like a star-making, not that he wasn't great previously, but that is a star-making moment for Trinidad Chambliss last Thursday night against Georgia. It felt like, to me, the end of Star Wars A New Hope. And everyone in the chat is talking about Andor, and I haven't seen the second season. Please don't spoil it for me. Thank you. So I haven't watched it yet because of football season. Where it felt like, to me, Trinidad Chambliss was like Luke Skywalker at the end. And I'll spoil this because the movie came out in the 1970s. And he blew up the Death Star, and the Death Star is Georgia. And I don't know who technically is Obi-Wan Kenobi in this instance. Is it Lane Kiffin? Is Lane Kiffin Darth Vader? Is Pete Golding Obi-Wan? I don't know who Obi-Wan is. But anyway, Trinidad Chambliss blew up the Death Star. And he's got the Force. He's got it. Tomorrow night, Thursday night, I think this is Empire Strikes Back, Luke Skywalker, Return of Dead Chambliss. He's got the Force. Everybody knows it. Maybe he spent the week with Charlie Weiss Jr. on Dagobah, like Luke Skywalker did with Master Yoda, trying to get his power straightened out. And if Trinidad Chambliss wins this game tomorrow night against Miami, he goes into the national championship game, and he will be Return of the Jedi, Luke Skywalker. And that will be a problem for Oregon or Indiana. I'm going to like Oregon or Indiana in the game, but I acknowledge the upside of Trinidad Chambliss is sky freaking high. You better you bet on this Wednesday. Nick Costos here with you. 310-840-4910, youtube.com/@TheCostos, at the Costos on all social platforms. I don't think Chambliss is going to get Ole Miss over the finish line to win a national championship. But tomorrow night against Miami, I do like him. And I do like Ole Miss. Trinidad Chambliss has it. Whatever it is. I don't think Carson Beck does. Now, it, in the case of Carson Beck, could be like tons of Instagram followers or like Instagram model girlfriend. And I'm not hating on that at all. All good. But if you're comparing these two quarterbacks, I don't think there is a comparison. It's Trinidad Chambliss. And y'all pay homage to the man. Point spread's 3.5. Give me the Rebels plus the points. And I think Ole Miss is going to win the game tomorrow night and advance to the national championship game. Quick break, and coming up next here, You Better You Bet Westwood One Sports on this Wednesday. We will get into more of the coaching news that we've seen the last couple days in the NFL. And I'm going to start with the Arizona Cardinals, who fired Jonathan Gannon. What jerks. like right after we went off the air on Monday, so I didn't get a chance to talk about it. I'm going to tell you why. I think the Arizona Cardinals are not far off from serious contention, and we'll talk about a mistake that I think the Dallas Cowboys made as well to wrap up our number two here on Westwood One Sports, presented by BetMGM.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a thousand-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
Had our chances to just, you know, out-executed us there for four quarters. But I appreciate the fight. We went down swinging, I thought. Just didn't have enough in the tank, so.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
What a calamity for the Arizona Cardinals and for fired head coach Jonathan Gannon. And just to say this, because, you know, I love video games, the best Zelda game, I think everyone thinks it's Ocarina of Time. I didn't hate the game. I didn't love it. Like, the water temple drove me crazy. This is also kind of like, I guess the internet was around at that point, but I don't know. Like, now I feel like you could just, like, on your phone type, how do I beat the water temple? And it comes up. I hated that level in Ocarina of Time. The best Zelda games in order: Legend of Zelda Link to the Past for Super Nintendo is number one, and 1A is Breath of the Wild for Nintendo Switch. I have not yet played Tears of the Kingdom, but I probably will at some point. Now that I have a kid, it's just like, it's very difficult. Unfortunately, I'm about to beat Ghost of Yotai on PlayStation 5. I started playing it in early October. It used to take me like 3 weeks to beat a game. Now it takes me 3 months. I love my daughter very much and my family. I also wish that I still had time to play video games, because all my free time now goes to sports and entertaining and informing you, our listeners and viewers. About an hour from now, I'm going to give you all my bets for tonight. Hopefully they'll go better than they did on Monday. If you, the listener, you, the viewer, if you're betting on the NBA this season, and you should be, here's something that'll take the pressure off your picks. With today's NBA No Sweat token, you don't need to sweat it if your bet doesn't hit. You'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $1,000. That is an unbelievable offer from BetMGM, and I'm not just saying that because they sponsor the show and I'm an ambassador for them. Like, that is actually legitimately a great offer. Download the BetMGM app, visit BetMGM.com, and make it legendary. So the Arizona Cardinals fire head coach Jonathan Gannon and now have a vacancy at that spot. General manager Monty Ossenfort will return for the Arizona Cardinals. And I don't really have much of a beef with that, as far as Arizona is concerned, keeping the GM but firing the head coach. I think Monty Ossenfort has done a pretty good job picking players. I don't even know, candidly, if I agree fully with the decision to fire Jonathan Gannon. I think you could make a case either way for Arizona. The case for Jonathan Gannon, and actually, I want to stop this here, because we have, per Ian Rappaport, we have news out of Baltimore with the Ravens. And again, 310-840-4910, 310-840-4910, the number. You agree or disagree with me that the Ravens needed to fire John Harbaugh. Per NFL Media's Ian Rappaport, he just tweeted, quote, "The Ravens are looking for a head coach that will, quote, reach and invigorate Lamar Jackson." Good luck with that. Now, again, like, if you're the Ravens, you can't fire the quarterback. He's won multiple MVPs. His 29th birthday is today. You're never getting rid of the MVP quarterback. It's never going to happen. You had to do something, so you fire the head coach. The idea that Lamar Jackson needs to be reached at age 29, is probably not a good sign for him that the Ravens know this, right? So I'm not absolving Lamar of blame, but I mean, his performance on the field has generally been pretty awesome and invigorate Lamar Jackson. To me, that kind of means offensive head coach. And I had brought up Jesse Minter earlier in the show. I had brought up Chris Shula earlier in the show. Does Kevin Stefanski stay in division? And yes, like Kevin Stefanski couldn't reach or invigorate Deshaun Watson. There's a joke to be told here. I won't make it. I think Deshaun Watson is probably like beyond reach and beyond invigoration at this point, given what's happened with him off the field and on the field and with the injuries. Is Kevin Stefanski the guy that can reach and invigorate Lamar Jackson? I think the answer to that question is definitely yes. I think Stefanski's an awesome coach. And I think a lot of people are caught up in, well, like the Browns have won 8 games the last 2 seasons. I mean, look at what he's dealt with. Like Deshaun Watson can't play. He can't. Watson gets hurt. Here's a litany of backup quarterbacks. Here's Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders. What coach is winning with that? He's a multiple-time Coach of the Year winner. Like, went to the playoffs with Joe Flacco a couple years off the couch. And Flacco won Comeback Player of the Year and won us a lot of money, if you listen to the show. Shout out to Ken Barkley. That was pretty awesome. And beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh on wild card weekends in the COVID year in 2020. Stefanski's an awesome coach. And I think, you know, I would love for Stefanski to go to my Giants. I actually prefer him to John Harbaugh. The Ravens should hire Kevin Stefanski if the Giants don't. That is an easy one. If you're trying to, like, make this an offensive hire, no better candidate on the market for the Baltimore Ravens than Kevin Stefanski. But back to the Arizona Cardinals, who fired Jonathan Gannon. You wanted to make the case for Jonathan Gannon keeping his job. It's a pretty easy one. We have seen NFL teams get hit hard and bitten hard by the injury bug. Not many like the Cardinals this season, where it's like all the good players got hurt. All the running backs, their best offensive linemen, the entire secondary, first round pick Walter Nolan, every single running back, Marvin Harrison Jr. in and out of the lineup. I don't know how many coaches are winning with the 2025 Arizona Cardinals. And if you wanted to give Jonathan Gannon a pass because of that and say, okay, Kyler Murray's clearly not the guy. He has played his last down as a Cardinal. Like, let's see what he can do with a new quarterback. Let's see who they pick and let's see how it goes. The case against Gannon, and this is ultimately what won out, and it's why I have no problem with the Cardinals deciding to fire Jonathan Gannon. We saw how it went with Jacoby Brissett, and not that Brissett would have been their choice to start next season, but we saw how this went, right, with Jacoby Brissett. Looked good for a couple games, and then they closed the year on a 9-game losing streak. And at the end of the year, these games weren't even competitive. Like, they're getting blown out by other teams. 9-game losing streak to close the season, and you end the year 3-14. Like, okay, you want to fire him? I get it. I'm not going to complain, even if I think you could have made a case either way. Like, with the Ravens, I think there's no case to be made to keep John Harbaugh. The Raiders, no case to be made to keep Pete Carroll. The Giants, prior to firing Brian Daboll, no case to be made for keeping Brian Daboll. You could act like the Titans with Brian Callahan, no case to be made. You could have made the case that they could have kept Jonathan Gannon, but I certainly understand why they didn't. And I do think, despite a lot of people probably believing the contrary, that this is a pretty attractive job in Arizona. The secondary is tremendous. There's talents on the defensive line. Got to get Walter Nolan healthy. You got to get Darius Robinson healthy. Josh Sweat's got to be healthy. You got to have healthy players, but you can say that about any team. I like the defense for Arizona. Like, I really do. So if they hired, I'll throw in it, Jesse Minter. Chris Shula stays in division. I think they'd have this defense cooking with gas. Now, the offensive line's a problem. You got to get the offensive line in gear. You got to put a lot of resources into this offensive line. But you have, like, exciting players at the skill positions, right? James Conner will be back. Trey Benson's going to be back. Michael Wilson has been a revelation down there. If you play fantasy football, you know this. Like, Michael Wilson's like, you know, like the ugly kid in high school who's been ugly his or her entire life. goes away for a summer, no one sees him or her, and then they come back and they look great that fall. Like, how'd that happen? Michael Wilson's never been a great player, and then he turned into, like, Randy Moss down the stretch of the season for the Arizona Cardinals. So here's Michael Wilson and Trey McBride. Can the new head coach get Marvin Harrison right? And maybe Marvin Harrison will never be as good as Malik Nabers. Maybe that'll be the case. He needs to be better than what he's been, and I see no reason why that can't be the case. So quarterback becomes the big problem for Arizona. Because as I said on Monday, Kyler's not going to be the quarterback of this team next year. I don't think he's going to be, at least. I can't see that happening. And the Cardinals have the third pick in the draft. So they're not going to get, assuming Mendoza and Moore go 1-2, they're not going to get one of those guys. Now, the Raiders are picking a quarterback at 1. I don't think there's any doubt about it. The Jets have 3 first-round picks next year. Maybe the Jets decide, we'll punt quarterback another year, and we'll build the roster up a little bit, and next year is our time to get a quarterback. If you're Arizona, I'm preparing packages to move up to 2 to take Dante Moore. That would be my goal if I'm the Arizona Cardinals. You get a quarterback in there in Arizona, a couple offensive linemen, you're not that far away from competing. I actually don't think that's the worst job on the market or close to it. I'm actually already contemplating an over win total bet on the Arizona Cardinals for next season. While noting, I did lose my win total over on Arizona this season. Final hour, power hour coming up on the other side. We will get to the NBA. We'll get to college basketball. All my bets for tonight. And we'll talk the rest of the coaching news in the NFL, including the Dallas Cowboys firing defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.